All right, if you've got a Bible tonight, I want you to find St. John chapter number 6. St. John chapter number 6. Before we look into the scriptures, let me say from my heart tonight and from my wife also, it's just been a blessing to be with you today, and we've thoroughly enjoyed it, and the pastorium staying there, it's been a blessing, and we just appreciate that so very, very much, and your kindness has just been overwhelming, and I've enjoyed it tremendously, and we thank you again for the honor and the privilege to come and share with you the Word of God this week, and lift us up in prayers, if you will. Okay, in John chapter number 6, look with me in verse number 1. After these things, and you need to underline that phrase, it's mentioned 6 times in John. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, "Hence shall we buy bread, that these may eat." And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in the number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Let's stop there and let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, thank you for another privilege and honor we can assemble in this sanctuary and look into your blessed, precious word and draw strength from this chapter. It can help us, Father, when we discourage you, to give us encouragement. And Father, thank you for each one that's here tonight. We ask, Father, that you'll just speak to our hearts through the word tonight. Never to realize, Father, tonight that Jesus is really all we need in this world. And we'll give you praise and glory and honor. We love you in Jesus' name. We'll say amen and amen. Amen. I want to use for our topic tonight, Jesus is all you need. Jesus is all you need. What is the only miracle that Jesus performed that is in all 4 Gospels? You see, every miracle Jesus did was a mighty miracle. But this miracle was a special miracle, because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John included in their Gospels. Now, this miracle that Jesus performed, it illustrates the truth that Jesus is really all you need. You see, the miracle takes place on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee there. And he had a multitude to follow him. And for reasons unknown, some probably came just to listen. Some wanted to learn. And probably some just wanted just to look and see what's going to happen, take place. Now the sun was setting. And the evening was coming. And their stomachs were growling. It was supper time. 12 disciples are now faced with the task of feeding 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. trying to find to feed them. And these disciples, they were convinced that this was a mission impossible. But Jesus used this miracle to illustrate a greater lesson in this chapter. You see, this is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. This is a story about salvation. It's about salvation. You see, there was a severe shortage of two items that day. One was a shortage that was obvious, and the other one was not. Now, here, the crowd lacked. The crowd lacked. You see, there was a huge crowd that was gathered there. In John chapter, this chapter 6 here, in verse number 10, it says men alone with 5,000. Now, Matthew, if you go down and read Matthew's gospel account, it'll tell you that there were women and children also there. Now, every one of them was hungry, okay? Every one of them. They were in a desert place at this time out there. And now, no matter how wonderful the sermon really was, it's past 12 o'clock. Uh-oh. Everyone wants to go eat a Cracker Barrel. Now, the crowd is a picture of every person without the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this crowd was desperate for food. But you see, this crowd lacked food because the disciples, they lacked faith. Now, if you notice verse 5 in verse number 6 here, verse 5, and when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, hence shall we buy bread that these may eat. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. So Jesus asked Philip a question. Now, he wasn't really asking Philip where to go buy food, okay? Because he already knew what he was going to do to begin with. What he was doing, he was testing Philip. Well, guess what? Philip failed the test royally. So first of all, there was no place to buy that much food. Walmart shut down. Winn-Dixie was closed. Piggly Wiggly didn't have it. Dollar store closed. There's no place to buy food. Besides that, hey, they didn't have the money to pay for it, honey. They didn't have the money. In verse number 7, notice, Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, Philip is a portrait of ourselves. His name means lover of horses, what his name means. Philip, he looks at the size of the multitude. Then he looks over there at the sum of the money. You see, his problem was he had circumstances. He was occupied with circumstances, I'll put it that way. Okay. So what he does, he just shrugs his shoulders and says, impossible, impossible. But that day, they were in ranks of hundreds and then fifties. Now, go over in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. They were in no rank at all. They all sat on the ground. That was the feeding of the 4,000 in Mark chapter number 6. But you see, when you get over here and you see Andrew did just a little bit better. His name means manly. Manly. You see, he went out looking for food. And he finds a little boy who brought a lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, I told you that I was going to bring your lunch tonight, and I did. Okay? And we're going to eat, feed, eat, and eat tonight. So I got plenty of food. I got plenty of bread. That's enough bread. There are 5 loaves right there. And 2 bites are caught out of my lake. Okay, so we got plenty of food right there, okay? Now, you take 5 and you take 2. Now, when I was in school, it was 7, am I right? Okay, somebody agreed with me, thank you. Okay, now, there are 7 notes on the musical scale of a piano. There are 7 colors in the prism of a rainbow. There are 7 baptisms in your Bible. God rested on the 7th day. There are seven resurrections in your Bible. There are seven churches that are mentioned in your Bible. There are seven I am statements mentioned in your Bible. There are seven sayings on the cross mentioned in your Bible. Now, when you get down to it, this little boy, he wasn't too proud of his catch at all. Okay? Because he says in verse number 9, there's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Well, who's the hero? The little boy. Here is the hero of the story right here. You see, he's saying, what do you have in your hand? Give it to me. That is God's requirement. You see, we've got to acknowledge God's requirement to put what we have in God's hands, dear folks, because when it comes from our hand to God's hands, it has the potential of becoming a great miracle for the Lord. I'm reminded about an intern who was sent out to a country where a lady was, and she was complaining about great pain that she was in, and he was filling in for the regular doctor. So he went out there, and the whole family met him at the door, and he says, can I help you? And he could hear the moans of that woman in great pain. So he went upstairs where she was, and the whole family was right by their side when he went on up to the bedroom. And he came to the door, and he said, quick, get me a screwdriver. Well, the father ran back downstairs, got a screwdriver, and gave it to the intern. After a while, the intern came back to the door. He said, quick, get me a pair of pliers. Father ran back downstairs, got another pair of pliers, and gave it to the doctor. And they could hear the moans and the pain and all that she's going through and listening through the door. And then a minute, the doctor said, quick, get me a hammer. Well, by that time, the curiosity had overcome the husband. And he said, what in the world is going on in there? What is wrong with my wife? I want to know, sir. And the doctor says, I don't know what's wrong. I can't get my little black bag open. That's bad, isn't it? Say the least. Okay. Well, Andrew, he looks at the multitude, the size, and he looks over there at the source of the meal. And he says, there's no way, Jose. There is no way. Now, the reason why there was a failure in Philip, and the reason why there was a flaw in Andy's faith, both of them calculated without the Lord Jesus. We do the same thing. You see, Philip, he looked at the cost. Andrew looked at the crowd, but the little boy looking over there at Christ, you see. Now, let me ask you a question. When you're witnessing to someone, do you worry about what you're going to say? Or do you pray? You see, when we worry about it, it only brings disaster. Jesus says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, Jesus was far more grieved over the lack of faith than he was the lack of food, is what he's saying. It reminds me of a lady. She was living in a retirement center. She was a widow. And there was a brand new resident. Well, not brand new, but there was a new resident, a nice looking young man. He just came in. Well, his wife just died about a month before. And the lady saw him sitting over there in the cafeteria, so she asked, could she join him? And the man said, why, sure, have a seat. So they sat down, had a nice conversation, and the lady says, you know, I can't help staring at you because you remind me so much of my third husband. He said, really? He said, oh, how many times have you been married? She smiled at him and said, twice. Now, that's faith. That's faith, okay? Believe me, that's faith on that one. You see, they had seen Jesus turn water to wine. They have seen Jesus heal a blind man. They've seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. They've seen Jesus walk on the water. They've seen the great I Am. They know that they were with the great shepherd, the good shepherd, and the chief shepherd. They know that. But they still needed the faith of a mountain to move a mustard seed. And they still didn't get it, you see. Over there in Luke 18, it says the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Paul said, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So the next time that you say that's unreasonable, remember this. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, every problem you have is an opportunity for you to believe God and for God to bless you. You see, Psalm said, God is our refuge and he's our strength and a very pleasant help in trouble. So whatever you may be going through right now, you're right in the middle of it by yourself, Jesus is right there with you. When your body is sick, Jesus is there. When your burdens are heavy, Jesus is there. When your faith is tested, Jesus is there. When your money is low, Jesus is there. When your heart is broken, Jesus is there. Because he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He said that. So there was a serious lack, but there was also a selfless lad. Now, this little boy, he shared. Now, when's the last time you shared Jesus? When's the last time you shared Jesus? This little boy barely had enough to feed himself. Now, when we think about loaves, we think about a loaf of bread. You know, there's bunny bread, wonder bread, sunbeam bread, and Sara Lee bread, good value bread. We think of those. But you see, these were actually little wafers, about the size of a quarter, small wafers they had. And they came from poor Pete family. This was a poor family. I mean, the little boy's name's not even mentioned in the story. Plus, his family's not even mentioned in this story. You see, bread, barley, I'll put it that way, that was the bread for poor people back then. You see, he shared, but he cared. He didn't have to give it. Nobody made that little boy give him that basket of food. Look, it's every man for himself. Every man for himself. But he was willing to give that lunch. He probably said, hey, I rarely get a lunch like this here to begin with. You see, his caring led to his sharing. You can share without caring, but you cannot care without sharing. Okay? You got it? All right, good. People will not know, like I said this morning, how much you know until they know how much you care. This little boy, he cared, but he also dared. He dared to believe Jesus for a miracle. Psalmist said in Psalms 132, I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Yet, only a little boy had enough faith to believe Jesus for a miracle. Isn't that something? You see, he had what I call a childlike faith to give his lunch. He did it without reservation. He did it without hesitation. You know, I believe, now I may be wrong, and I may believe, that's okay too. I think Jesus sometimes, I think he had a sense of humor. I really do. I do. I mean, 12 baskets left over that were gathered, okay? And you go over there and you read about the 4,000, they only had 7 loaves. That's all. 7 loaves. You see, 7 tells us that Jesus is sufficient to meet any need. Here they had in their presence the Son of God. They had in their presence the light of the world. They had in their presence Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Right in their presence. And Jesus said, no, No. We're going to give them something to eat. Give them something to eat. Now, we need to learn two things from this. One, never doubt what God can do. He's in the miracle business. Number two, never deny whatever God asked you to give him. He's in the multiplication business. You see, this little old boy, all he had was a measly lunch, folks. That's all he had. You could take and put every bit of it on a little old napkin, in other words. That much. You see, over here in John 6, you'll find in John 6 nine times, if you read that chapter, where it says over there that I am the bread from heaven. Nine times you'll find that statement mentioned there in John 6. Now, in Luke chapter 6, in verse 38, he said this, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meant, withal it shall be measured to you again." So, we got a hungry crowd, you got a bunch of helpless disciples, but you got a little old helpful boy right here. But that's not enough. We need one more thing. We're not going to eat. We're going to need one more thing. A sovereign Lord. A sovereign Lord. You see, this is a wonderful story, and I love this story. It's a wonderful story. But John did not record miracles just to tell a story. Jesus never performed miracles just to show off. No. The lesson of the loaves runs much deeper than the feeding of 15,000 people, folks. 12 baskets left over. Each disciple gathered enough to fill a small basket that they would use for traveling for the last 2 or 3 days. They had enough. 12 men, 12 baskets of provision. Do you know what the number 12 means in your Bible? It's the number for governmental number, is what it is. And if you just happen to go look, you'll find it's mentioned 212 times in your Bible. You know that there are 12 tribes of Israel, okay? There are the 12 apostles in the New Testament. We do know that there are 12 gates in the holy city. We do know that there are 12 signs of the zodiac mentioned in your Bible, you see. We know that. 12 baskets. Now, in verse number 11, "And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise the fishes as much as they would." Now, Brother Bo, why did they have to sit down? Well, they didn't have long chairs, okay? So they had to sit on the grass. But why they just sit down? God is a God of order. Okay? Everything he does, he's a God of order. Well, how do you get that? The Bible. "Let all things be done decently and in order." Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14. In verse 11, Jesus took the loaves. Okay? Now, that word "took," that's in that verse number 11 there, is a very interesting word. It's the same word that is used in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 8. He said this, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Now, the word "receiveth" is a Greek word, and it's the same word that is as "took" in this story here, you see. And I'm saying that God is pleased to use small things and weak things in the Bible. Do you know? I'll tell you anyway, okay. Well, I'll tell you. He uses a tear of a baby to move Pharaoh's daughter. Do you know he took a sling and killed Goliath and gave him a piece of the rock? Rahab, all she had was the string. Moses, all he had was a rod. But all were used by the Lord. Every one of them. In the healing of bitter Hezekiah, of his boil, do you know what they did? He involved a lump of figs. A lump of figs. And would you believe, this is what I just love this. When was he healed, Brother Bo? 2 weeks? Or did he have to wait 4 days? How long did he have to wait? On the third day, he was healed. On the third day. 30 words of a prayer gave King Hezekiah 15 more years to live because he believed the word of God without question. That's good enough right there to go to the house. When healing bitter waters of Myra, God used a tree. Okay? In verse number 11, he said, and he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. Now, that word, giving thanks, that you see there, it's the word we get eucharist from, and it's a term for the Lord's Supper. You remember, it's the same word Jesus used when he blessed the bread at the Lord's Supper. You see, the bread that Jesus blessed at the feeding of the 5,000 was a picture of Jesus himself in that. It's an illustration that's showing you and I that he's the bread of life. That's what he's illustrating. So when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, doesn't the Bible say that Bethlehem means the house of bread? Jesus would be the bread of life. Now, folks, that's what loaves and fishes are all about. It's about getting the bread of life to those who are hungry. It's getting the bread of life to those that are in need, those that are hurting, those that need strength, those that need help. That is what the bread of life is all about. In verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. That cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So the miracle is about spiritual bread. That's baked in by a heavenly Father to meet spiritual needs. Baked by a heavenly Father. So we can learn about the bread of life. One thing we need to learn is that he's the source of life. Jesus did not perform the miracle to satisfy physical hunger here. Jesus did not do that to do physical hunger. Well, Brother Bo, he did make it the people spiritually hungry and spiritually thirsty. That's what it's about. He did it to make them spiritually hungry and spiritually thirsty. You see, this is just more than a Passover picnic, folks. Look at verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when that camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perish, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. They still didn't get it. They still didn't get it. Jesus had just come to keep their stomach from growling, to keep their soul from perishing. And he wants them to understand that he's the source of true life. That's what he's trying to get across to them. The source. But also get across that he's the supply of life. It wasn't that lad that fed those crowd or the disciples. It wasn't the disciples. It was Jesus that fed that crowd. The disciples kept coming back to Jesus for more loaves and more fishes. So he was the source. He was the supply of food. Because John said in 10, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now these disciples were under probably great pressure back then. And I can understand that. Because they were what you call prosecuted. In other words, they didn't want to accept responsibility. In other words, it reminds me about a minister a Boy Scout and a computer expert. They were on a only passenger on a small plane. And they took off, and in a little while, the pilot came back to the cabin and says, the plane's going down. He said, we have four people and only three parachutes. He said, as the pilot, I deserve a parachute because I have a wife and I have four children. So he took a parachute and he jumped out. Well, the computer expert said, well, I'm the smartest man in the world. And the world needs me. So he picked up a parachute and he jumped out. Well, that left the Boy Scout and the minister. The minister looked at the Boy Scout. He said, son, I've lived a long, long, full life. And I know I'm going to heaven when I die. So I guess you get the life parachute. And the little boy said, don't worry about it, preacher. The smartest man in the world just picked up my knapsack and jumped out of the airplane. That's bad when you don't know what a knapsack is. I can't imagine that. Anyway. My goodness. Well, what I'm saying, without the Lord Jesus, the fact of the matter is, you don't have life. You might have existence, but you don't have life. You see, he's the source. He's the supply. He is the sufficiency of life. Did you know it's estimated from Bible scholars that it would take over 15 tons of food to feed that crowd? 15 tons. But in light of that, going back again at verse number 11 here, what he said again. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Now, the spiritual lesson I want to get across to you tonight is that if God is ever going to use you, he's going to have to break you. Uh-oh. Well, we could go over there to Acts. A roof had to be broken to get a palsy man to Jesus, didn't it? An alabaster box had to be broken for the enrollment to come out, didn't it? Gideon had his men to break pitchers so they'd get the lights to shine, if I recall. Little David, he had to be broken. Because he said over there in Psalms, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. You see, it's not until he breaks the bread, okay, that he's able to give them the bread. Okay? Not until he breaks the bread. In verse number 12, you'll notice, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that nothing remained, gather up the fragments that remain that nothing be lost. Well, they could have been filled without Jesus, Brother Bo. They would have not been filled without Jesus. Why do you say that? Because verse 35, he said, I am the bread of life. Now, I know you're just about to chomp the bit to ask this question. So I'm going to answer it for you. What did they do with the 12 baskets of leftovers, Brother Bo? Isn't that a good question? What did they do with it? They might have come up with the idea of put it in some doggy bags and take home and put them in the freezer. Could have done that. Well, let's just divide them up, okay? You get five, you get five, you get four. Okay, do that. I don't think so. Now, I'm going to give you both philosophy on this one right here. This is my opinion on it. It's not worth a Coca-Cola, okay? I believe that Jesus handed those baskets of leftovers to that little lad that was willing to give his lunch to Jesus. I believe that. I believe that little old boy went home, showed the ambassador to his mama, and she probably passed out. Son, where did you get that? You know? But the bottom line is, there's not a problem he cannot solve. There's not a hunger he cannot satisfy. There's not a thirst that he cannot satisfy. There's not a hurt that he cannot heal. There's not a question that he cannot answer. To the hungry tonight, he's the bread of life. To the thirsty, he's the fountain of living water. To the sick tonight, he's the balm of Gilead. To the dying, he's the resurrection and the life. To the darkened, he's the light of the world. To the outcast, he's the bread of sinners. My dear folks, let me tell you, Jesus is all you need. You got Jesus, you don't need anything else. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life tonight, dear folks. If you got Jesus, you got everything. Iron joined out with Jesus Christ. My Lord. We can't even comprehend that one at all. So I hope tonight that you got spiritually fed. I know you didn't get physical fed tonight with my loaves and fishes. But I hope you leave here tonight realizing that Jesus is sufficient for all our needs. No matter what it is, he's right there. He's right there. If we'll realize that. But sometimes we forget about those things. We really forget it. When we really all realize that there are people outside these walls that are dying physically and spiritually. And they need the bread of life. They need the bread of life. They need Jesus. I was sharing with a brother a while ago. Went to a church up in Alabama. Been about 4 or 5 months ago, somewhere in there. They had about maybe 15. And I preached the message. Everybody left except the deacon, chairman. And I was talking to him, and I said, "Brother," I says, "tell me something." And he said, "If I can, Brother Bo." I said, "If you just be honest with me," he said, "I sure will. When's the last time you had one soul walk the aisle in this church?" He nodded his head down. He says, "Brother Bo, we haven't had a soul saved in this church in over a year." I said, "Why?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "Answer me this next question." I said, "Would you be honest with me?" He said, "I sure will. For the last 6 months, have you been fed a good spiritual meal in this church?" He looked at me and said, "Brother Bo, no, I haven't. Until today. That's the first meal that I received in 6 months or longer, Brother Bo." I said, "Brother, it don't have to be that way." I told him, I said, "I drive sometimes 40 miles to go hear good preaching and good singing. Over 40 miles. I'm not going to sit and live off bread and water all my life. Not in church. Uh-uh. And you can come, you can sit and do that, but not me. Because I love this book. And when I got born again, I told my pastor, I said, I want to know what's in this book." He said, "Bo, I'll teach you." And I have one of the greatest Bible teachers that a person could ever have. A pastor that put me under his wings and taught me to be a pastor first. And taught me the Word of God. How to divide the Word. How to separate this. And why the piers and the colons. Why this here and all that. The doctrines. All that I learned, not only from my pastor, but I would go to camp meetings, revivals, every chance I could, and have my Bible But on the inside of my Bible, I have some paper. And on the inside of that Bible, my paper, was this right here. And he says something other that just strikes my wood, I write it down. And I learned. I mean, I've heard them get up and say, well, Lord's going to come back on a Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock. I said, you give me chapter and verse, Jose. Okay? Can't do it. You see, they're that kind of people today. They're that kind of people. But I'm grateful for what God has taught me and learned, showed me in the book. And I don't know it all. I never will know it all until I get on the other side. Then I'll know everything. Every bit of it. So, we're not too far away. We're not too far away. And one thing that you need to do, and I need to do, and we all need to do tonight, is pray for your president. Because they've now found out that this virus is a whole lot worse than they ever thought it was. A whole lot worse. It's going to get rough down the road. And you need to know what this here says when that time comes. Okay? Before I leave, let me say one other thing. I love you all. Thank you. I appreciate y'all. And I hope you have a wonderful, blessed week. Let's stand together. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Gene, would you dismiss us tonight, my brother?